Hi everyone, welcome back to Being Transparent. I'm Vanessa Nichols. Thanks everyone for being here today. Gosh, it has been almost 9 months, 10 months since I've done a podcast, which is crazy to me how fast time goes. But I wanted to come back in and do a check-in and just kind of follow up with everyone. I had done just a few of these episodes when I started this almost a year ago, and I got some really positive feedback. And since then, my advocacy work has grown, and I've really dedicated so much of my time to saying yes to things in advocacy work and activism for the trans community and specifically for the trans youth community. So I stepped away from the podcast just for a minute because, number one, I just wasn't sure anyone was listening. But about a month ago, I started getting some messages from other parents of gender expansive kids that they had stumbled across this podcast. And that just made me feel really great that this was helpful to people. So I decided to come back to it. And I do plan on expanding it eventually. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who's listening. So I'm always appreciative when people reach out and say, hey, I listened to your episode of this podcast. And oh my gosh, I can relate. That's why I am a public advocate, is to relate to other people and to connect with other people on this journey as a parent of a trans kid and to other trans folks that need me. And that's why I'm here. So that's what this episode is about today, is social media in general and advocacy work and how that relates to social media. Because I'm honestly, y'all, I'm still trying to figure it out. And I don't claim to be perfect, but I want to be here for the community. But these last couple of days specifically have been really hard. And I wanted to come here to talk about that and talk about the LGBT activism movement and allies and all the visibility that's going on in specifically in the United States right now on social media. I think it is obviously so important, but it can feel so incredibly heavy and sad and terrible. So I'll back up. Where have I been? So after I did my last episode of the podcast back in November, I ended up going on vacation with my family for Thanksgiving and then, of course, Christmas. And so I kind of put the podcast aside. At the start of the new year, I was saying yes to almost everything that came our way in terms of advocacy work. My son and I did a panel discussion back in February at a local equality event. I went to the Human Rights Campaign Time to Thrive, which is an amazing, amazing opportunity to connect with educators that really care about creating inclusive environments for their students. And LGBT youth were there, and they spoke to us. Gosh, I don't know how many people were there, maybe 1,000, maybe 700. I'm not quite sure, but it was an amazing event. It was my first time as a parent going to that. The workshops that they offer are just so incredibly amazing. I met such amazing, amazing people. So that was in the winter last year. And then at that conference, I met this amazing woman named Jennifer Dane, and I started with Jennifer, I started a fundraising project called the Trans Love Project. The transloveproject.com is the website, and that happened because on Saturday Night Live back in February, Don Cheadle was the host, and he wore a shirt that said Protect Trans Kids, which he went viral for specifically within the parenting community of trans kids, because that just meant so much to us. And another mama bear and I decided that we were going to kind of make a go of this to make some shirts to give back to the LGBTQ community, because we couldn't find any retailer that was giving back proceeds of any kind back into the community with those type of shirts that said Protect Trans Kids. So I worked with a wonderful woman named Shayna. She's a graphic designer and she's an out and proud trans woman, and she designed some of the shirts. And within 4 hours, I put together a website, and within 2 days, we had sold about 400 t-shirts. And so that project's been going now since February, and we've been able to give back about $4,000 of donations back into different organizations that serve LGBT youth. We choose a different recipient every couple of months. So that kept me very busy for a long time. And then in May, I was invited by Jennifer Dane. She is an amazing advocate in the LGBT community and for specifically LGBT military personnel. And so she invited us to a military ball for LGBT military folks. And that was amazing. It's called the AMPA Gala. I think they'll be changing that name because they changed. It used to be American Military Partners Association, and now they've changed that name. But we were invited, Dylan and I, my son and I were invited to that ball in May, and we got to experience Washington, D.C. and all the monuments with her, with Jennifer. And it's been such an amazing journey. I've done a couple of speaking engagements to tell our story, and I just got really busy with face-to-face interactions and with fundraising and doing all this great work. I was saying yes too much, to be honest, but a big part of my platform obviously is social media. And so I want to talk about that for a second, because a lot of us are doing all of this really good work, and we're putting feet to our faith, so to speak. I know that that's more of a term used in the religious sector, but when I say feet to our faith in this aspect, in terms of allyship and activism, I just mean, you know, we're putting a lot of work in and good work. We're not just posting on social media or complaining on social media about how terribly the LGBT community is treated. We might be doing that, and we're doing real work to fix it. We're doing the things. We're doing the true definition of allyship. Ally, being an ally is a verb, and that being an ally causes change, and to cause change you need action. And so to be an ally is to put your words into action, right? So most of us understand that. If you're listening to this, I know you probably already understand that. But honestly, I think what has happened is saying yes too much and getting too entrenched into activism. There is definitely activism and advocacy fatigue that goes along with it. So at certain times, I've had to step away from saying yes, you know, to these events in person. And then I've had to step away from social media quite a bit. And the reason I'm talking to you about this today is because a couple days ago, and I might get emotional, so you got to bear with me. I'm going to try to get through this without getting emotional, but a few days ago, my son's birth certificate was sent back to us. We have legally changed his name, which we did in the spring, and then the next step to that is amending his birth certificate. So it says his name, and it says his gender, which is male. And of course, my son was assigned female at birth, so that's a huge change. My son is 10. We've been on this journey. He's been out now for almost 2 years. That was a huge step for him. Now, I want to focus on the fact my son is 10. He has not started puberty blockers. That might be in our near future, maybe. Nothing else has changed, his except for his name, a piece of paper that is super important to him being his birth certificate. Our next step will be getting his passport changed, because we do travel a lot, and his social security card, we have to change that as well. So it was a monumentous moment for us, one that I caught on video, because I got his amended birth certificate in the mail and I knew what it was. And I opened it, and as I opened it, I started videoing with my phone his reaction, him not knowing that I had this in my hand. And it was such a beautiful moment. And it was one that I really felt compelled to share because my son was overjoyed with excitement that his new birth certificate came. Because for him, seeing his old name legally on documents at school, in the cafeteria when they log in to pay for their food, when they do standardized testing, any roster at school. So numerous times a day, my son still sees his old name. That is a pain point for him, as it is for a lot of trans kids. I, as a cisgender woman and someone who is learning about this path, I cannot understand how painful that is because I have not been through it. As a cisgender woman, I cannot say that I understand my son's pain, but I can look at it, I can feel it, I can be empathetic to it, I can understand it from that perspective. I can understand it from listening to other trans folks that I have come into contact with that have chosen to share their story with me that are now, you know, grown adults. And I can do what his medical professionals that we've been in contact with for now almost 2 years, I can do what they suggest. I follow their lead, my son's therapist. He has an endocrinologist. His pediatrician, right now we don't have a pediatrician because medical care is a whole other discussion for trans folks, which I plan on making an episode about in the near future as well. Because we haven't had the best of luck in Southwest Florida with affirming physicians. But again, that's a whole nother discussion. But he has a medical team. He has an endocrinologist and he has a therapist that's well-versed in gender-expansive kids. So I'm following his lead. And, you know, everything that we've done thus far are things that can certainly be undone if he changes his mind, because that's always the first question is, oh my gosh, he's so young. What if he changes his mind? Well, if he changes his mind, then he changes his mind and I will follow his lead. I will love him unconditionally. I don't care if he changes his mind 10 times. At this point, it's paperwork, literally paperwork that we're talking about. And my son knows. I mean, we've had numerous discussions on that topic. And, you know, I have never asked him the question, are you sure this is who you are? Because I've never asked a cisgender person, are you sure that you're a man or a woman? I've never asked a cisgender person that question. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I've never asked my child that. But I have told him that if he ever changes his mind or if he ever is unsure about his gender identity, he needs to just share that with me. And I would be wanting him to share that with me. So we've had numerous discussions about that. So his birth certificate was a monumentous moment, like I said. I mean, it was just such an amazing moment. He was so happy. He got teary-eyed. His smile couldn't have been any bigger. It was going to break his face. The things that he said after I stopped videoing on my phone, like he's so excited to do all of the things, change everything at school, change all of his medical records at his various doctor's offices, change his passport so when we travel, TSA doesn't get confused or ask questions. Just in general, it obviously affirms exactly who he is. So it was a really beautiful evening for us. That evening, later after I put him to bed, I shared it on social media on my private Facebook page. I shared the video and it got, you know, all very positive. That page is private, so it's just my friends, which again, I over the last couple of years have deleted probably 500 people from my Facebook account that just were not good for me and not good for Dylan. So I mostly have a lot of positive affirming folks on my Facebook and everyone gave us some really sweet feedback and it was really great. And just to share that moment with other people, I shared it on my Instagram account, just a clip of it. And I shared a picture of him, which again, got some really great feedback and congratulatory type of comments for him. And then I shared it. I didn't share the video, but I shared a picture, a screenshot of his face, of his elated face, and a screenshot of his amended birth certificate, which of course I marked out all of the important information, but just to show that it was, you know, amended to male and his new name. I share that on my public Facebook page about 3 days ago. My public Facebook page is Vanessa Lee Nick, so it's VanessaLeeNic. And that's where I share a lot of different articles, mostly surrounding the LGBT community, positive, negative, everything in between. I share just some random thoughts. I am a writer, so I share some of my blog posts, which I don't keep up with my blog nearly as much as I'd like to, but I share my musings, basically. So I shared this, and before I knew it, it was being shared in a very positive way. And before I knew it, I had racked up, I don't know, let's just say 500 likes. I'm not sure. And it had been shared dozens of times, which kind of surprised me that it was being shared, because it was a moment that I just shared with my son. And obviously, having a public Facebook page, people are going to share things for different reasons, but large and in part for the first about 15 hours, 12 to 15 hours, it was all very positive feedback and congratulations. And it really to share that moment with the LGBT community, specifically the trans community, was just a huge moment for me to just create that celebration around my son. Somewhere over the middle of the night, that night that I shared it, someone named Posey Parker, who I guess lives in the UK, I believe. I don't know much about her. But what I do know about her is she is an anti-trans activist. Basically, I would say that she's a leader of hate, I suppose. I had never heard of her, but apparently she came across my page somehow, some way. I don't know how. And she commented on probably about 7 of my posts, all different posts. I mean, she must have been on my page for hours, from what I could tell. A little bit obsessive, if you ask me. It was quite strange to wake up to all these comments. Her comments were not only full of anger, but literally full of hate. I mean, I wish I could go back and read some to you all so you can understand, but I was so upset that I banned her from my page and I deleted all of her comments. And I thought, okay, this is just going to go away now, this person, because again, I didn't know who she was. But that's not what happened. She ended up sharing my son's birth certificate post from my page. And she got her followers, which she has about, I don't know, 4,000 followers, all riled up. And Posey is what's called a TERF, T-E-R-F, which maybe a lot of you that are listening can already know, that you already have the knowledge base about what a TERF is. But that stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. And basically what that means, because I needed this explained to me, what that means is basically there are a large group of feminists that a lot of them even lesbians, so they are in the LGBT community, but a lot of them are lesbian women, cis women, that exclude the trans community altogether. They do not believe that being trans is a thing, and they vehemently fight against the trans community. And I believe Posey is a TERF, and she certainly, most of her followers are TERFs. And the TERF community, if I'm using that phrase correctly, is bordering to me, after what I've seen over the last 2 days, I think that they might be the biggest hate group that lives. And the reason that I say that is because although evangelical Christians have notoriously brought the most amount of hate my way, generally speaking, the evangelicals haven't wished ill will on me. I have received a couple of hate emails from people locally back when we did the school board meeting last November. I've received a couple of articles in snail mail sent to my home that were religious based, that were anti-trans and came from hate speech, but nothing threatening bodily harm to me specifically. I did have one email wishing me dead. I did. And again, I don't know if that was in the name of Christianity or if that was just in the name of being an asshole, but I did receive that back in last November after the school board meeting. But historically speaking, since I've been a public advocate, I have created a really quite a safe space on Facebook. I really get very, very few ignorant, hateful comments. And when I do, I simply ban that person from the page and delete their comment. And the reason why I do that is not because I do not want to listen to their opinion, but it is my page that I am creating a community. My point is to connect with people that understand this journey. If they're there to understand the journey and ask questions, absolutely, I will answer them. Or if they want to give a different perspective, or if they want to, you know, give a scenario and kind of talk that out, I am more than willing to do that. But when they come to my page and they just comment something like, you're a child abuser, or you should go to jail or something like that, I delete and I ban them and I delete the comment. Sometimes I'll screenshot it if I'm worried, safety reasons. Sometimes I'll screenshot it. But going back to what happened with Posey Parker, her base was so riled. I ended up today, so we're like 3 days into this now, I have banned close to 100 people that came from her page to mine. I banned close to 100 people, and I'm up to probably about 150 comments that I deleted, because the things that they were saying to me specifically, it wasn't against my child, of course, because my child's young, but the things that they were saying to me, let's see, I mean, you can only imagine, but I'm sick, I'm twisted, I'm a child abuser. One woman said that my child, that she would hope that that I would die so my child could have a chance of living as how she was born. You know, of course, we're all misgendering my child. Of course, we're all calling him a female. And, you know, so, I mean, it came in droves. Posey herself, when she reposted my post, she wrote this long few paragraphs of just the nastiest things about me, that I'm a mediocre woman, that I am seeking attention, which I get accused of often, that I'm seeking attention, which is the irony of that is the attention that I'm receiving is mostly negative. And when it's positive, it's not attention for me. It is rallying a community and bringing in a community together of parents of trans kids and trans youth themselves and trans people themselves. I try to create a space that is safe for all of us to share goodness or frustration. So it always makes me laugh when people say that, that I'm seeking attention. We've been accused, parents of, specifically moms of trans kids, have been accused of having Munchausen by proxy syndrome, which is when moms specifically or parents keep their children sick so they can get attention and be a caretaker for their kids. There's actually a Netflix special, and I can't think of it now. Was it Netflix or was it Hulu? Sharp Objects was the name of that. That was kind of Munchausen by proxy syndrome. If anyone's seen that, if you haven't, it's an excellent series. But so we get accused of this all the time. And a lot of parents of trans kids who have been advocates for a long time, that have been doing this work for at least a decade, they're probably used to this. I know Debbie Jackson, who I've connected with, she's a very public advocate for her daughter, Avery. She's very used to the TERF community coming after her. I think that's one reason why she does not have a public Facebook page anymore. I think it's one reason why Debbie's not very active on Twitter. I could be wrong, but Debbie, if you're listening, you can definitely chime in and let me know. But I, you guys, I have to tell you, I was super affected by all the hate this time around. You know, when it comes in small doses, I think any of us can handle anything in small doses, anything in moderation. We're supposed to live our lives in moderation. And so I think that anything in moderation we can handle. But, and I know, again, we're talking about strangers on the internet, and thank God you can turn them off and walk away, which is what I did after I removed the picture of my son, because I did have a picture of him on my post. I removed that. Then I had done a follow-up post about, before all the hate came my way, I did a follow-up post about, you know, what if he changes his mind? Because I think it was important for people to read and to hear that if he changes his mind, I'm going to be there for that too. You know, I know this is a lot of emotional work for us as parents of trans kids to go from not understanding this journey at all to then understanding it, affirming it, going right behind our kid or right in front of our kid and affirming them and fighting for their rights. And it's a lot of emotional work, all of it. And so, yes, if my child chose to detransition, I'd be there for that too. That's what I'm here for. And if it ended up that he identifies as a lesbian instead, that's fantastic. I'm open to anything. And that's what the beauty of this journey has been so far, is I am open to anything. So, but the hate came in droves, and it was thick, and it was terrible, and it was threatening, and it was, I don't know if using the word scary is maybe a little bit dramatic, but it was a little bit scary. I had so many people coming at me that I couldn't even keep up at one point. I, of course, my only recourse, of course, was to go and report the two posts that Posey posted about my son. I reported them both as hate speech and as harassment. And Facebook said that those posts did not go against their standards, which, Facebook, you really need to do better. It was absolutely harassment. People were screen grabbing other things that I had said on my page because I had banned so many people. So then they were sending people over to screen grab things and they were posting those. I mean, it was a significant, gosh, I don't know the word. It was a significant lashing. I mean, it was just this barrage of terribleness. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't sob about it, because it feels terrible. I chose to not to engage with any of them, honestly. I think I responded to one of the first comments by saying something pretty sarcastic, like, good for you, thanks for stopping by, thanks for sharing your opinion, and I put a peace sign emoji. But then when I noticed that all this hate was coming from somewhere, I couldn't keep up, and I was just so sad. And I think I was sad for a couple reasons, because first of all, no, that feels bad as an adult to be bullied. It just does. And that's what it was, because we're not just talking about hate. We're talking about defiance of information. I don't know how these people that identify as TERFs, or they don't identify as TERFs, but how we identify them as TERFs, or, you know, this group, or any group of people that think that trans people aren't real, I don't know how they deny the medical research, literal medical research that's been done. They're already denying people's lived experience. That's obvious. They're already saying to people's faces, no, you are not a real person. You're mentally ill. You're all these other things. But then they're going beyond that. They're denying the medical research done by huge, accredited universities that have legitimate certifications to do this work and credentialing to do this work. So they're denying that. They're denying healthcare organizations, the American Academy of Pediatrics. They're denying the World Health Organization. I mean, they're literally denying all that exists on affirming trans people, all of the literature, all of the things that exist. And I think the homosexual community, the gay community, went through this too at one point. Obviously, not with the same group of people, because now a lot of the people in this group identify as gay. So I find it interesting that there's a lot of people within this marginalized community, within the LGBT community, that exclude the T. They exclude the trans community. And that really makes me sad. But yes, it made me sad for myself, because no one likes to feel that way. No one likes to feel that bullying. I didn't like it when I was in sixth grade, and I don't like it when I'm 42 years old. I just don't. And I know that hate exists, and I acknowledge that, but it still baffles me when people feel emboldened to spew that kind of hate towards someone that they don't know. Not only do they don't know, but they didn't scroll back to read our story. They weren't curious about how we got to where we are. They don't care to know that my child is happy and well adjusted and has a medical team. They don't care. They just want to stay rooted there. And they certainly weren't trying to change my mind. They were just calling me terrible names, saying terrible things. Yes, that all made me sad. But what makes me more sad is that these are the types of things that the trans community deals with every single day. And they're dismissed by medical professionals, by people, their administrators at school, their teachers at school. They're dismissed by everyone. Sometimes their families, their friends, they're dismissed. Their whole existence is dismissed by this kind of ideology. And I just don't understand why people care so much as to how other people identify. I will never understand that. And so what these people were saying to me is that Posey, this woman that created this shitstorm, cares so much about children that that's why she posts this kind of thing. Which is completely illogical and hypocritical, because she's plastering my child's face, screen grabbing my child's face, and claims to care about my child, but yet puts hate speech against it. And they're basically just obsessing over children's genitals at the end of the day, because right now we're talking about a name change, a pronoun change 2 years ago, a pronoun change and a name change, and then literally a piece of paper that the state of Florida provided us with a change. Those are the three things we're talking about right now. Okay. So to me, they're obsessing over what's in my child's pants, which is disturbing and upsetting all in it of itself. But the fact that the trans community has to deal with this type of ideology every single day, I cannot fathom what that must feel like. And it's my child that's growing up that's going to have to deal with this. And I know we are changing the younger communities, the younger generation. They are absolutely learning from one another and embracing one another's gender identities and sexuality. And it is a different world than this group of people that hate so much. It is absolutely so different. And I'm so thankful to the universe for that. And I hope by the time if my son chooses to have children of his own, I hope that his children will have a much different experience than what I'm talking about right now. I really hope with all of this work that this generation and even, you know, my age and the elders, the trans elders and trans adults and all this amplifying that we're doing of this conversation, I certainly hope that my grandchildren, what would be my grandchildren or what would be my great grandchildren will create a generation where we're not having these conversations anymore. That's the utopia. But yeah, all that to say, I had to step away from my public page. My last post on my public page was 2 days ago, and where I basically said, you know, I'm taking a pause. I'm stepping away. I'm taking a pause, and I can't do this right now, basically, is what I said in a lot more eloquent verbiage. But I think that on social media, we absorb, we're, a lot of us, myself included, are addicted to social media. I certainly am. My new obsession is actually TikTok, which my son introduced me to because it's super light and fun and funny and they do funny things and it's not so heavy. Instagram, I'm on Instagram and still Facebook. And Facebook, I'm still on Facebook and I connect through Facebook so much because of being connected with so many parents of trans kids. But I had to step away and I made the post that, hey, I'm taking a pause and, I'm hitting the pause button for a little bit and I'll see you all soon, because that is what self-care looks like, obviously, is to remove yourself from a situation that feels really toxic and heavy. And I don't think that we all do that enough, in especially for those in roles of advocacy, or in, for those of us in marginalized, not, I'm not in a marginalized community, but I'm fighting for one. But those of us who are fighting for or in a marginalized community, I don't think we take pause enough and put ourselves first. And we sometimes forget. And again, I'm speaking from a place of experience. I think sometimes we forget that we're dealing with strangers that don't matter. But I think what got to me the most, honestly, was it was not only the fact that the trans community deals with this, but to see my child's picture being used as hate speech. And I know, and Dylan and I, my son and I talk about it all the time, that being a public advocate is tricky. It's a balance. And I never know when I'm teetering on overexposure of our story or his story versus putting it out there for the good fight. And now that he's 10 and he's understanding a lot more and he's engaging a lot more and understanding what the trans community faces a lot more, we talk about it a lot. And I always ask his permission. Like, I did ask his permission to post the video on my private Facebook page of our moment when he found out about his birth certificate. And I ask him permission when I post selfies and when I posted that picture the other day on my public Facebook page. And, you know, of course he generally says yes, because he doesn't understand some of the hate that we get because I don't tell him. But that was a moment where I was a little bit mad at myself too, for sharing a personal moment. So I guess I was a little bit mad at myself too. But then I become mad that I have to be mad at myself, because I just wanted to share his joy and our celebration with people that matter to us. And when we can't do that for safety reasons or to keep ourselves safe, but to also keep our mental health safe, that really sucks. And that feels really fucking terrible. So I had to step away from it. And I've still been posting on my private Facebook page, not about this. I didn't even post on my private Facebook page about what happened with this group, with this hate group that came after me. I didn't even post about it because I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm not looking for sympathy or empathy with this situation. I'm not looking for any apologies that it happened. But I'm here to tell you that this is really shitty when you treat people that you don't know, and you don't know their story, you don't know their background, you don't know my child. If my life was a foot long, you might know about an eighth of an inch based off of what's on social media. And so my purpose of coming back to the podcast was to vent and to share what happens to public advocates, for those who don't know, who care to know. And when people don't, you know, people, I think, have this misconception that we're amplifying the conversation about equality so much. I think people think that things like this don't happen and that hate really doesn't exist because maybe these certain people aren't participating in the hate. But I'm here to tell you that, yes, it does. It does exist. And this is why there are not things like straight parades, or there shouldn't be, even though there was just one in Boston, Massachusetts, but there shouldn't be things like straight parades. And this is why advocacy work is necessary. But I'm here to tell you that I work to balance it every day. I'm so very proud of my kid, and I love to share with this community the good things that he's doing and the good work he's doing by teaching other people about his identity and the good things that he's allowing me to teach through my voice and through my privilege. And I'm so proud of that. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of how far we've been able to come. And it's okay to take a knee and take a breath and to pause. So I wanted to send that message too, to anyone's listening that's a public advocate. Don't forget that advocacy fatigue is real and that your soul and your mental health matter more than anything else in the world. And others will carry the baton when you can't, and you need to hand it off. And that's what I'm doing right now, just, you know, maybe for a week or so on my public page, just maybe for more. I don't know. But right now, my page that felt like the safe corner of the internet all of a sudden felt very toxic. And today is the first day. So we're 3 days into, since the hate came out in droves, we're about 3 days into it. And today was the first day. I think I only deleted one or two comments today and banned one or two people. But I went kind of poking around on Posey's page. And what amazes me is that these people were like obsessing over me. They were not only, they even went to my Instagram. They didn't write anything, but they were stalking me. And my son does have an Instagram account that's private that I manage. I don't post for him, but I manage the, you know, the comments and the messages, but it's a private account. And they even found his account, which I don't know how they found his account, but they did. Thankfully, no one messaged him or asked to or requested to follow him. But it just was shocking. It's shocking. And I guess that's me being naive as well, because I can't believe that people like this exist. So it was a hard lesson for me, and a lesson, I'm not sure a lesson in what. It was a lesson in hate, but I don't regret any of the things that I've done. It just makes me sad that I can't share to the level that I want to, because this kind of hate exists. It's really a shame. So yeah, that's why I'm here today, to kind of vent to you and to let you know that if you're experiencing this kind of hate in LGBT advocacy, I'm in solidarity with you. If you're listening just to listen, and if you're a parent of a trans kid who is not a public advocate, I hear you loud and clear with your silence. I understand why you're not. You're trying to maintain a healthy, normal life for you and your children, and shield yourselves and shield your family from this type of hate. And I respect you. And I think that's absolutely important to do. To those that are listening that are public advocates, I pass you the baton right now for a few days, a week, a few weeks, a few months. I pass you the baton on social media, specifically on Facebook. But I'm still here, and I'm going to share a little bit more on the podcast. Like I said, I think the next episode I'm going to do is about medical care and some of our experiences there and why it's important for medical facilities to be doing some inclusive training with staff and for themselves as practitioners. But I'm still here, and I am going to change the name of this podcast. I kept it for this episode, but I have learned that the play on words of being transparent, when you're a transgender person and you're a parent, that is when it's appropriate to say that you're a trans parent. So I learned that I am not a trans parent, and that play on words that I thought was cute has been done before, and I'm using it in the wrong context. So I will be changing the name of the podcast. So if you have any ideas for the name of my podcast, I would love a new idea. But y'all, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a powerful voice and a powerful force for me and a powerful force of support for me and for my son. I really appreciate everyone that celebrated with me. There were hundreds and hundreds of comments on both my public and my private Facebook page when I posted about Dylan's name change. And the love far outweighs the hate. And I know that. I recognize that. I feel it. But sometimes, just like when we're little and we're told all these good things about ourselves, we always remember the one bad thing that someone said to us. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing right now, is like, gosh, the hate is just a little bit too loud, that I'm having a hard time feeling and accepting the love. And that's when I know that it's time to take a step back. But I know that the love outweighs the hate. And I so appreciate everyone who's on this journey with me and everyone who's been affirming for my son, every ally that we have here locally in Southwest Florida, to all over the world, all the love that he receives. I'm so very grateful to be sharing our story and to be in this community with all of you. You all are amazing people. So anyway, I hope that this podcast helped one person and touched one person and educated one person about this journey as that we go on as public advocates and what the trans community faces every day. So I love you all, and thanks for being here. Until next time, I'll talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.